This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's a longtime buddy. Started as an intern with MLB.com back in the day covering the Indians. Now he's their big-time national columnist. He's still at least is nice enough to us to show up on the show, and we appreciate that very much. He's Anthony Castrovince. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Jeff. Can't forget the little people along the way, you know?
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thank you very, very much.
As a little person, I can appreciate that, yeah.
What does that make me? I guess I'm just like the peon at this point.
It's good for all of us that way. So, hey, man, first of all, I think baseball's doing the right thing, but did they not expect to get any positive tests back? That's the thing I don't quite get.
They expected positive tests. Certainly, you just hope to avoid the doomsday of multiple outbreaks, multiple teams, and we've had that in the last couple of weeks. We've had that with the Marlins, and now the Cardinals have what could certainly qualify as an outbreak. And then it's not just that, it's just how that affects other teams, because the Phillies happen to run into the Marlins at a point where they're breaking out in a bad way, and they end up sidelined for a week through no fault of their own. The Phillies didn't do anything wrong in this process. So it's just frustrating to, there's protocols in place, but it's not a foolproof system. Obviously, you got players traveling all over the country, and the bubble concept is the only way to do this to really get a control on positive cases. We see that the way the NBA and NHL are doing that. But how realistic was that for baseball? Probably not very. It's one thing to do that just for your postseason, just for your playoffs and just for a couple months. It's another thing to do it for an entire regular season and the playoffs, and with more teams involved, more players involved, their families involved. It would have been a tough act to pull off. So they tried to do it this way, and they're still going to try to push through, but they need better participation from the players on the proactive front. We saw outbreaks for a reason. I think we saw that the social distancing measures on the field and the measure they're taking within the context of the ballpark seemed to be working, because it didn't spread to the Phillies despite the Marlins having this massive outbreak. So that was good to see, but you have to take care of business away from the field as well.
So what is Major League Baseball's biggest concern with COVID-19 at this point, Anthony? Is it the idea that one team gets it and then passes it on to another team, or is there a bigger thing?
Well, it's just you can't have several teams going through this sort of situation like we've seen with the Marlins and the Cardinals all happening at once, because, again, it's one thing that they play fewer games, but then you have the teams they interact with now playing fewer games. And the Tigers are the victims this week with the Cardinals. They get a four-game series bang, so they're just sitting around when they would have been knocking four games off the schedule. So I think it's inevitable, guys, that even if they do complete the quote-unquote 60-game season, there's going to be some teams that don't play 60 games. I just think the math just doesn't work out. You're not going to be able to make up every game you lose. So that's not too dissimilar from 1981. You know, when because of the strike, you know, teams played a disparate number of games. It's unfortunate, but just kind of the reality we're living in 2020.
Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com. Let me ask one more question about the virus. If this doesn't clear up with a couple of these teams, could you see what happened with the MLS, where, hey, Dallas, thanks, go on home?
You know, I don't think it would come to that, because again, they're going to try to get in as many games as possible. There's certainly, from a revenue standpoint, local television, all that, there's a incentive to do so. If you had, again, if they're still doing this thing late in September and still pushing through, and a team had an outbreak at that point, I mean, there would be no point in them, coming back, really. So I don't know, guys. I never say never in this scenario, because we've already seen a lot of stuff we did not expect to see just in the context of baseball, let alone the world this year. So anything goes.
Is Major League Baseball locked in with the idea that winning percentage, if there is an uneven amount of games, is going to be what will determine playoffs, or do they have a better idea?
No, I think it'll be winning percentage. You just hope it's not so, unwieldy. I mean, the Marlins have one of the best winning percentages in baseball right now. They're 2-1, So
stop playing. Just stay there.
Yeah, they should just beg off.
We're in.
Bring hats and T-shirts.
So you hope it's not like something crazy like that. It's impossible for me to project 6 weeks out what this is going to look like, because we did not know it would look like this 2 weeks in, not even 2 weeks in. So it's just kind of the reality. But yeah, I mean, winning percentage would dictate, as it did in 81 and in other seasons. I was actually just writing something recently about the history of the Cleveland Indians franchise. And in 1908, they lost the American League pennant to the Detroit Tigers, the Cleveland Naps at the time. They lost the pennant to the Tigers by half a game because they had the same number of wins, but the Naps had played one more game than the Tigers. So they didn't get to go to the World Series. How'd you like the outcry on Twitter if that was the case today?
That'd be awful. When we looked at this 60-game season, Anthony, and Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB.com, make sure you go there and read his work. When we started this, we thought, well, 60 games, better not have any slumps or anything major happen when it comes to the actual baseball product itself. And if you're an Indians fan, you're thinking all of a sudden, wait a minute, we can't hit. And tonight means 20% of the season is done. And Anthony, Dan and I kicked it around earlier. I don't know how you fix it in this, other than, hey, you get better, right? I mean, You're not really going to the farm system. I can't imagine blockbuster trades this year. I might be wrong on that. I don't think there's any way for anybody to fix anything other than to just get better, which is a little different. And you don't have patience on your side, which you often have when a guy's in a slump. I don't think you can afford to be terribly patient, but I don't know what options do you have. Does that change an entire philosophy for an organization, or what do you think they do in these situations?
I think it can. I mean, Francona has usually been slow to pull the trigger on lineup changes, on major lineup changes in the course of a season, and you can't be in this scenario. Six runs in six games, that's 10% of your schedule now, where they've scored just six total runs, and the least they could do is score those six in one game. At least you might have gotten one win out of it. But, it's just – You can't be too patient, but you're right. I mean, the options, there aren't obvious ways to tweak this lineup and provide an instant jolt. It's just the way it's constructed. It's not quite stars and scrubs, but it's certainly stars and lesser talents who have not quite congealed at the major league level. So it's very Lindor oriented, Jose Ramirez oriented, Carlos Santana oriented, and not a lot happening beyond those guys. So it's frustrating because they've been getting great pitching by and large, and they're starting to waste a good chunk of it because, again, six runs in six games is a abnormally large percentage of your season. They got to get going.
Do you wonder if some of the slump is due to the fact that they're rotating seven outfielders in and out there and no one's getting consistent playing time?
That's interesting, because that's where I was fascinated to see, not just with the Indians, but other teams as well. And relievers, you can ride the hot hand, but how quickly do you pull the plug on a guy who's struggling? And it's when you're not getting your consistent opportunities, especially as a position player, man, it's tough. It's just a tough level. And we see that with guys, you know, the guys who can come off the bench and perform consistently are some of the most well-respected in the game, because you know the work that takes, the preparation it takes to be ready when your name is called. And in this scenario, you know, you miss a day, you sit out of lineup for a day. It's statistical equivalent of missing 2.7 days. You know, you miss a series, or, you know, two out of three, it's even larger. So it's hard, you know, it's just hard to find any real, you know, get the snowball rolling, so to speak, in this scenario, when you are rotating guys. And, you know, they had some guys, Bradley Zimmer obviously stepped up huge during the summer camp and earned his way onto this roster. But then, you know, you're thrown into a situation where you're getting yanked in and out of the lineup, as are, you know, outfielders in general in this lineup. So I'm with you. Like, on the one hand, you want to just kind of throw three guys out there nightly and let them find their way. But on the other hand, if they're not finding the way, you got to yank them out because you don't have time to mess around. So I don't envy major league managers and front office people who are, you know, by and large making these decisions these days, because this is extraordinarily, it's hard to put into words how different this is versus what, you know, the normal process in a 162-game season.
You think they'd be more hesitant to go down and bring up somebody from East Lake who maybe doesn't have much major league experience and give that guy a shot here? I kind of think teams would be, Anthony.
Yeah, we've seen more aggressive prospect promotion than maybe I thought. Obviously, there was incentive to leave guys down for a week because then you have that extra year of control. But that's exactly. Based on the 60-game schedule. And what if we don't have a 60-game schedule? What if the season gets cut short? The math changes. So we've actually seen, I mean, Nick Madrigal of the White Sox is a great example. They called him up last weekend, one of their top prospects, and now his clock starts. And if the season, you know, worst-case scenario, were to get banged in a few days, you know, the math is different on him, and you lose that extra year of control. So it's a dicey thing. It's a risky thing to call up a prospect in this environment. But we have seen teams doing it, you know, pitchers and position players alike. You know, I don't know. Do you give a shot to, like, a Nolan Jones in the Indian system who's, you know, one of their top prospects? It's a weird year because they're not getting – it's just a lost developmental year. I mean, they can take all the batting practice at Lake County that they want, but it's just a lost developmental year. So particularly for teams in transition, there's an argument for getting your guys up here and just letting them play. But it's risky from a financial standpoint, from a contractual control standpoint. And then for a team that's in contention, it's doubly risky because what if he's just not ready and what if he's overmatched? So that's another one where I don't envy the decision makers. I'm always inclined to just I want to see the kids. You know, that's just my nature. And I think that's most people's nature. You want the shiny new object. And sometimes a shiny new object comes up. He's like Nick Madrigal and gets, you know, he gets three hits in a game or four hits in a game right away. He's ready to rock. But sometimes it's, you know, a maturation process that we just don't have time for in 2020.
Anthony, last thing, 7-inning doubleheaders, that's a thing for now, right? Tell me that's not anything that they're going to think. You know what? This worked out really well.
I think the extra inning runner on second, as much as people, especially here, hate it, I think that could stick in future years. I don't think the 7-inning doubleheaders is going to stick. You know, obviously, we're in a moment where these things make total sense because they're just trying to, you know, limit the amount of time on the field. Travel is a big burden in a shortened season, and they don't want to, you know, add to that by having 15 inning games and what have you. And having, you know, there's gonna be a lot of doubleheaders, as you're seeing, a lot of makeup, you know, situations, and that means a lot of doubleheaders, and it would be crazy to go with the usual 9 innings in this setup. So the Players Association, MLB, got together to make that change. It's a good change for this year. I think the extra innings thing is a good change for this year. I think we've seen merit to the extra inning thing. If you can get outside the Indians, you know, losing that game to the Royals, you get outside that bubble and just look around, hasn't been all the bunting we necessarily expected. It's been kind of fun. It's been, you know, kind of this instant tension in games that's been kind of fun. So I think there's merit to that one perhaps long term, but not so much the 7-inning doubleheaders.
Maybe after 12 innings for me. I can't embrace it.
That could be a nice compromise. Yeah, you get to a certain number and then bring it in.
I can't embrace it in the 10th. Anthony, a pleasure, as
Thanks,
always,
man.
Buddy. We haven't said this in a while. Congratulations on your success. I'm really happy for you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff, and likewise. And, Dan, nice to hear you, you know, less Andy, more Dan. How about that?
Woo! All right, we'll have to record that and pass it on.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And congratulations exactly to you and your family as well.
I want that passed along for sure.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Anthony Castrovince joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and make sure you read all of his work at MLB.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.